This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Just Crack an Egg.
And when I want to put the heat back in my relationship with breakfast, I head down to my local egg aisle. I look around to see who's watching, and I slip my hand onto the shelf and I pull out Just Crack an Egg. It is a hot, fluffy scramble that's ready in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, you just add a fresh egg over the hearty breakfast fixins.
And I know where you can get a fresh egg because you're already in the egg aisle.
Good point. Anyway, you stir it up, you microwave it, and reignite your love of breakfast any day of the week.
Try all 7 varieties, including Denver, Veggie, and Southwest style.
And take breakfast back. Well, I'm me.
And I'm also me.
And my name's Molly.
And my name's Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where I can't seem to get any words out.
Yeah, no, we're trying to like a new intro this time. We didn't know
super,
we were trying
super
it.
Loose,
it's much
casual.
Worse than our usual intro.
It is. Okay, this is the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and then we wash our dishes.
You got it. So this episode is about electric dishwashers. The electric doesn't sound right.
No.
Automatic dishwashers.
Like the dishwashers that most of us are familiar with from home kitchens.
Dishwashing robots.
I think that's probably how they might have described them in the 50s.
Exactly. So we already did Memory Lane because we didn't know this was going to be a separate episode when we started the washing dishes episode a couple weeks ago.
There's so much about this episode that's already been a surprise. What do you think is going to happen next?
I don't know. I think our mouths are going to break down in another, hopefully, entertaining way.
Great. Okay.
Well,
so anyway, if you haven't already listened to our hand washing
because that would be an episode about washing our hands, which we could probably do that.
Anyway, but go back and listen to it if you haven't yet. I think it was a good episode.
I think
your
so.
Time. Anyway, we found that we had so much to say about hand washing dishes that we have made dishwashing using a dishwasher an entirely separate episode. Wow.
We should have before we started the episode figured out some terminology because now we just got to roll with it.
Yeah. Here's our dishwasher episode.
Okay. So may I tell you a bit of dishwasher history?
Yeah.
Okay. The first automatic dishwashers became available in the 1850s, and they were hand-cranked, and they sucked.
So was it like a, like, did you need like an organ grinder to operate it?
You mean like a monkey with a little suit?
Yeah, like that kind of thing.
Yes, it would come with a monkey with a suit, but it turned out, actually, the dishwashing part worked pretty well, but the monkey was way more trouble than it was worth.
Yeah. I hope that they put all those monkeys in a sanctuary somewhere.
Yeah. I think all those dishwasher grinding monkeys are still at a farm upstate to this day.
Okay.
The oldest one is 169 years old. It's still cranking it. I don't mean like cranking.
Matthew. Anyway, okay, yeah, go on. So these were really bad. How were they bad?
Like they required a lot of cranking and didn't get the dishes very clean is my guess.
This sounds like my dishwasher at home.
All right, we'll get there. According to Wikipedia, the most successful of the hand-powered dishwashers was invented in 1887 by Josephine Cochran, together with mechanic George Butters in Josephine's tool shed in Shelbyville, Illinois.
Ooh, that sounds racy.
When Cochran, a wealthy socialite, wanted to protect her china while it was being washed. So Josephine Cochran got in touch with mechanic George Butters and said,
I need
to protect my china. Can you come into my tool shed, please?
What does this mean?
They called the Lavadora, later renamed the Lava Platos, and it debuted at the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago.
Wow. Gosh, that is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of the dishwashing monkeys came in from the farm to watch the debut and were like, I'm so glad we don't have to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So this one I think was not cranked, but I'm not sure. Although maybe it would have to be.
Well, wait, it says hand-powered.
So I guess it was cranked.
Okay.
All right. So dishwashers similar to those of today were independently created in the UK and the US in the 1920s. And the first electric dishwasher was made by Miele, which still makes dishwashers today.
Mm-hmm. Fancy appliances, those Miele. Or Miele?
Yes.
Miele?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, I don't think it's a silent E. I mean, like after the meal, you put your stuff into the mealy. Yeah. But.
Okay. Anyway, so these early ones, though, were they any good? I mean, were people able to buy these and actually put them in their homes?
Sort of. So, like, they were expensive and bulky. I think they did work much better than the monkey cranked ones.
Okay.
But
which, to be fair, were not actually cranked by monkeys. We
don't
have
know that.
Invented all of this.
No, most of what I said, everything not about monkeys has been true so far.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. I'm glad that we clarified this, though.
So like most labor-saving home appliances, they didn't really become something available to the general public that people could afford until after World War II and didn't get really popular until the 70s.
Mm.
So as of a couple years ago, when the most recent data was, about 68% of American homes have dishwashers, but one in five of those homes never or almost never uses it.
That's so interesting.
I mean, I know people who use their dishwasher as a drying rack, basically.
Interesting.
Or never open it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it that they don't mind washing dishes, or does the dishwasher not work well? Are they trying to save energy?
I think it's some combination of those reasons, but I think that most commonly when I've asked people, why don't you use your dishwasher, which is what I ask people on the street all the time, it's that they have a small household and they don't generate enough dishes to run it more than once every few days and may not even have enough dishes to support that life cycle.
I get that. I think I've mentioned on the show that I've gone away a couple times to write at the home of an acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was just me with, like, you know, this big old dishwasher.
Oh, so you went like full on dorm cup.
Well, what do you mean full on dorm cup?
Like, I had one cup that you never washed.
I actually didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I have to say that the first time I went and stayed at her house, I kind of did all the dishes by hand and did the dorm cup-ish approach. The second time I went, I think I realized I planned my food better.
Okay.
And this time I really went for it, and I used like all the cups and all the silverware and all the plates.
You sound very proud of yourself, and I don't know why.
Well, because like then I cut out the amount of time I was spending doing dishwashing.
Oh, okay.
And instead loaded stuff in the dishwasher, which I discovered, I think it was the best functioning dishwasher I've ever used.
Oh, because what I was going to say is, if it's not your house, you don't have to do the dishes. That's how I see it.
But if it's a house,
I'm a terrific house guest.
You're amazing. You're never staying at my. You're never even coming to my house again.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Was this? You said this was like out in like a rural area, right?
Yeah, I was.
Could
on
you
Whidbey
see
Island.
The monkey farm from your window?
I could not see the monkey
farm. Because that seems like it would be very relaxing.
I did spend a lot of time being distracted by wildlife while I was supposed to be writing.
How many different species did you see?
Oh well, I got even more into bird watching there than I had been before.
So a bunch of birds.
I saw my first varied thrush there.
Wow.
That was super exciting. I
choose to be impressed by that.
I saw flickers for the first time in person.
I've seen northern flickers. That's a beautiful bird.
They're really beautiful. Yeah. I also saw deer are a real menace for a lot of people in many parts of the world. But anyway, there were a lot of deer around this woman's house, and I loved watching them.
Did that bird you hate ever show up? The Stellar's Jay?
Oh, no, there were no Stellar's Jays there.
Good.
You know, I've made peace with the Stellar's Jay. When there was a big windstorm here recently, my bird feeder fell off the hook that it was on and fell onto the ground, and the tray that was attached to the bottom of it. Shut up, Matthew. Don't interrupt me. The tray that was attached to the bottom of my bird feeder broke off, and I have not replaced it. But I've realized that now that I don't have this tray, the Stellar's Jays, they can't perch on the tiny little perches that are otherwise on this bird feeder. And so I'm just, I've made peace with the Stellar's Jays because they leave my bird feeder alone now.
I don't think that's what peace means. That's like if you had a neighbor that you weren't getting along with and you like put up a fence over your door so they
good fences make good neighbors.
Or you put up a camera so you could pretend not to be home when they came by.
I made peace with my neighbor.
With them.
Yeah.
Like we've achieved détente.
Okay. Well, anyway, I have achieved a détente with the Stellar's Jays.
Okay, great. Are there any things that you secretly put into your dishwasher even though you know you're not supposed to dishwash those things? I have one.
I definitely have done this, I think, with a couple of ceramic mugs and things that I was supposed to hand wash. I was just like, life is too short.
Yeah. The thing that I always dishwash when I should be hand washing is the bamboo skimmer.
Oh, yeah. So, like, also known as a spider.
Yes, a bamboo stick with a metal cage on the end, because you can't hand wash that without tearing up your sponge and or your hand. And you never even get it clean anyway because things get jammed in there.
So do you oil the handle to make sure that it doesn't get all splintery?
I lovingly rub it down with many coats of mineral oil. It's a very sensual process.
Do you actually?
No. Okay. Seems fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what is a big pet peeve for me? I do not like it when people, like house guests, like yourself.
Oh, boy.
Matthew Ebster Burton, future house guest,
never. I feel like you're about to
never
put your actual house guests on blast.
You love saying putting things on blast.
You're about
to
dunk on them.
No, I do not like it when people put knives in the dishwasher.
Yeah, I agree. Not so much because it might damage the knives, but because I'm going to be reaching into that dishwasher later, and I want to have a hand still when I remove my arm.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's one thing to choose to remove your arm, but to have your hand involuntarily removed is not okay.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah,
I was going to donate that complete arm to a bionic woman.
Why not a man? Seems like bionic men, I don't know,
they don't get the credit they deserve.
No, they've got more resources available to them.
Okay. What is your strategy for loading the dishwasher?
Oh, wow. You know, this is a really interesting question.
I think everybody who uses a dishwasher has strong feelings on this topic.
Absolutely. I have a very different strategy from my partner. And so I have always, and I know I talked about this in the hand washing dishes episode, but I've always been the sort of neater, more orderly person in my relationships.
Sure.
However, what I think...
Like literally every single time, every single relationship?
Well, except this one with Ash.
Oh,
because what I think is an orderly and logical way of loading the dishwasher, like for Ash, like, well, they come along and completely move everything around. Like, I think they think that I'm being really inefficient with space.
Yeah.
However, they do this thing that makes me crazy, which is I feel firmly that you cannot put lightweight plastic things like those deli containers and lightweight Tupperwares
on the bottom.
You can't put those on the bottom.
Agreed.
They fly around. And Ash is forever taking the ones that I've put up top in a really good position where they won't move.
Hey, Molly.
And moving them to the bottom.
Up top.
Up top, Matthew. Anyway, my strategy is glasses up top, of course, lightweight plastics and stuff up top, lids either kind of wedged between glasses I have this tippity top rack.
I have a tippity top,
where you're
too.
Supposed to put silverware, but I've never done that.
You're supposed to put silverware up there? Because I have a whole silverware thingy on the bottom
Have a silverware thingy on the bottom, but my tippity top rack.
Yeah.
is, it's very shallow, right? And it's got these tiny little prongs where you're supposed to lay your silverware on its side.
Oh, yeah. No, I use that for lids.
When I,
and then I forget that they're there and they run through like seven cycles before I get back to them.
Absolutely. When I was living with a host family in France, that was my first time seeing a dishwasher that had that little top silverware rack.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I didn't see it until I got one like a few months ago.
I generally use mine for lids like you do, especially lids of deli containers. And sometimes for like little plates or bowls that I'm using for like soy sauce or something that. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, then on the lowest rack is where I put all the silverware and of course, plates and then large bowls, like bowls that you would eat ramen out of or pasta or something like that. I never put actual cooking equipment or baking pans in my dishwasher.
Yeah, I
do those by
hand. Now, when you put bowls on the bottom, are you concerned that they will block the spraying water from reaching the top rack?
No. I've never worried about that.
I've never worried about that either, and especially not. My current dishwasher has a pipe that goes up the back, so it sprays water separately on the top rack.
I know that I should know this, but I feel pretty darn certain that I have two sprayers, one on the floor of the dishwasher underneath the bottom rack, and then one that's kind of attached to the middle rack,
yeah,
like the glass rack.
Yeah.
So I don't worry so much about things getting, falling into the shadow.
Yeah. So do you have bottle sprayers? And if so, have you ever used them?
What are bottle sprayers?
Okay. I've never tried these. I have not ever had like an especially dirty bottle, but there's a section on the top rack, not the super tippy top rack, but like, I guess the middle rack.
I like how you've started calling it the tippy top rack. Just like I started
on my
doing.
Dishwasher that they're like these red clips and they are, you know, that some of the prongs.
Wait, can you show me this right now?
Let's go take a look right now. I'll take a picture and we're going to post it at spilledmilkpodcast.com. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
With more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, Third Love designs bras with breast size and shape in mind, so you get a perfect fit and a premium feel.
And gotta get a premium feel. Yeah. Molly, I understand you have a little something to share with us about Third Love.
So recently, I'm writing the manuscript for my next book.
Yeah.
And I was writing about...
Sure, turn this Third Love ad into a plug for your book.
No, but I was writing about what I was wearing to go on a date. This feels dumb about it. But anyway, I mentioned that I was wearing this bra that had hot pink straps.
Oh, it's vivacious.
And then I remembered that it was the vivacious colored 24/7 t-shirt bra from Third Love.
Of course. I hope you put that entire phrase into the book.
No. Anyway, it was an important date. I don't know whether it's going to make the cut, but boy, my Third Love bras make the cut.
Absolutely. Yes, they're cut to fit you whatever shape and size you are.
Yes.
Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off your first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk now to find your perfect fitting bra.
And get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Bill Nye's new podcast, Science Rules.
Yes, guys. It's that Bill Nye. You probably know him as the Science Guy.
Oh, that rhymes.
Yeah, Bill Nye, Science Guy. And this show is for all of us that loved his show as a kid.
So basically, you mean all of us.
All of us.
Right. So on Science Rules, Bill Nye, he takes calls from listeners. He answers all of their questions, weird questions, embarrassing questions, occasionally more serious questions. I'm going to assume these are science questions, but maybe you can ask him literally anything.
Well, so I understand that one of the questions he's going to be answering is, how often should I really be washing my pillowcase?
Now, I'm going to listen to that episode. I'm not sure if I actually want to know the
answer.
Are
you just going to fast forward through the answer?
Yeah. Like, what's the opposite? Like, it's not that I don't want to be spoiled. Like, I don't even want to have the denouement.
What about this question? How do we go about putting colonies on Mars?
You're asking me?
No, that's another question he's going to be tackling.
And he is going to tackle serious questions like how will we prevent another Flint River crisis?
So important. I'm glad that Bill Nye is here to help us with this.
So Bill is on a mission to explain how science rules everything in the universe and also cash rules everything around it. And you'll have to listen to the podcast to find out what people are asking him.
The first episode of Science Rules is out now. So check it out right after listening to our podcast and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Right. So, you know, so a few of the prongs of the top rack are actually sprayers with a clip attached to them. So you can, like, clip a bottle to them and get all the way, like, you know, deep down inside the bottle and clean out all the gunk. Have not tried it. And partly because if you set it to run the bottle sprayers, it adds like 40 minutes to the wash cycle.
And my wash cycle is already really long.
It's long.
Especially if you use the, like, eco setting.
Right. Why does that make it take longer?
I don't
longer?
Know, but it's the same thing with washing machines. If you do it on, like, a, you know, environmental setting, it's here's, yeah, all bad. Like, I mean, it's really long.
The eco setting on, I don't think there's like a specific
really
eco
setting.
What?
I said that if you put it on the environmentally friendly setting, it's all bad.
It's all bad. Okay.
So it's like the opposite of it's all good.
Right. Okay. So to sum up,
smart today.
According to Molly Weisenberg, environmentalism is all bad. No, on mine, there isn't like a specific eco setting, but there's the like, you know, detect filth level setting, you know?
Oh, is that the auto setting?
Yeah.
Okay. I've
and
never used it.
And that takes longer than the non-auto setting and like always, even though it's supposed to like detect how dirty the stuff is and adjust. Here's my guess what's going on with the eco setting. I think it's using colder water for a longer time because heating the water is the most energy intensive part of the process.
Okay.
That's what I think is going on.
Well, so Matthew, how do you load your dishwasher?
Okay, so plates along the front on the bottom usually. If I have to go to the back and start putting plates in the back, something feels off to me. Because that's supposed to be where, like, bowls go.
Oh, it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I will put glasses on the bottom. I have no problem with that.
I will only do that if I have more glasses than big things for the bottom and if I am trying to fill the dishwasher to run it.
Right. So I find I fill the top rack way before I fill the bottom, typically.
Yes, me too.
Because I use a lot of, like, medium-sized bowls and glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my current dishwasher has a really good arrangement of prongs,
mm-hmm.
so I can get a lot of stuff in there. My previous dishwasher had the worst prong topography I've ever seen. It was absolutely an atrocity. You put four bowls in
like
there and you're
names?
Done. I do not remember the brand.
What's your current brand?
GE.
Okay. I used to have a... Maybe it was a GE. Remember the Quiet Partner?
I do. I'm so glad you remembered to mention that.
That was the dishwasher I had when we first bought our house. Uh-huh. It had like a white plastic front.
It was literally, the brand name was literally the Quiet Partner, the model name.
It was the Quiet Partner 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it was not very quiet.
Do not ask what happened to the Quiet Partner 1.
It was not very quiet, and it died. And now I have an Electrolux,
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea why. I think we went to the Sears outlet.
That makes sense.
And that was how we, I don't know how we decided which one we were buying. But anyway, I can't recommend it, people. Oh. Electrolux, like, please get in touch. Why is this dishwasher not better?
I wonder how much it varies from model to model, though, because I'm sure GE makes, like, 80 models of dishwasher.
The dishwasher that I used at that house where I went on a writing retreat uh-huh. was a Gen Air.
Went on a writing rampage, it sounds like.
Where I went on a Gen Air. That's the dishwasher.
Wow, yeah. We Gen Xers really don't know how to go Gen Air.
Oh, God. No. Anyway, the dishwasher there was a Gen Air, and the dish rack part had, like, this really smooth action where it kind of, like,
mine does not have
slide
that.
Out. Brandon says that his dishwasher now has it. I don't know what his type is. Maybe KitchenAid? But anyway, I am super into
this. I think you know
this.
What his type is.
I think I do, actually. Anyway, I was super into that Gen Air dishwasher, and it did such a good job. And it dried everything perfectly.
Wow.
Which my Electrolux, even when you have it on like the dry setting.
Yeah, it's weird.
It leaves everything soaking wet.
Yeah, because I think as far as I know, I've never used a dishwasher that does anything to dry other than just heat the thing up. Like it just turns on the heating element and just leaves it there. Shouldn't it have like fans?
Well, you would think. I wonder what makes this Gen Air one so good. I mean, you could open the door of it the instant the light went off to tell you it was finished with the cycle and everything would be perfectly dry.
Yeah. My first dishwasher, which I don't remember when it was, like it came with some previous apartment. The management had disabled the heated dry function on all of the dishwashers throughout the building because like there was a recall or something and they didn't want to replace them. So they just disabled it. So everything was just like drippity drippy.
So Ash,
Abby,
and I,
can we cut the part where I said drippy, drippy?
So leave it, Abby, leave it. So my Electrolux, I'm going to keep saying this over and over again.
More like Electra sucks.
Because I'm just really hoping that the company will reach out to me and say, please don't slander us again. Please
accept a free dishwasher.
Please accept a free dishwasher.
Could happen. That's usually what happens when you insult something.
Anyway, so what we do when the dishwasher is finished with its cycle, we take out all the plastic things from it, like all the Tupperwares and the lids.
Yeah.
Because those seem to dry more slowly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's because plastic doesn't retain heat as well.
And then we put those like on the dish rack.
Mm-hmm.
And then we leave the dishwasher open with the racks like fully slid out onto the door.
Okay, that makes sense.
For a few hours or overnight, and then we unload the dishwasher. Because,
well, I could do it overnight, but we can't open the refrigerator when the dishwasher is open.
Yeah, I can't leave it open during the day if I am actually needing to cook anything,
right?
Because it's the dishwasher sits right in front of like the main part of the kitchen counter.
Yeah, I feel like ours vents pretty well. Like I haven't noticed a big difference between drying open and drying closed.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like mine would never dry if it were closed.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe try good old General Electric. General Electric, if you're listening, and I'm speaking not to the company, but to the general herself. Molly needs a dishwasher.
I do. Please. Hey, do we have any listeners who work for a dishwasher company that
it is possible
wants to send me something? I hate this dishwasher.
Would you do an endorsement?
Can we
be bought, I guess is what I'm saying.
I can be bought.
We can be bought.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, I'm throwing all this money into, like, water and electricity for this thing. And it really, I mean, frankly, I should join that group of 1 in 5 Americans who doesn't use their dishwasher. Because this thing is kind of worthless.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll
see what happens.
How thoroughly do you have to wash your dishes before you put them in?
Oh, my God.
Because
I'm so glad you asked. And this is a perfect segue to the thing I wanted to talk about next.
I have to make mine basically clean.
Oh, no. Like, I can leave...
When I put them in.
Gunk? Mine will de-gunk well.
Mine will not de-gunk. Even if I... Okay, so Ash eats plain yogurt mixed with granola and honey every morning for breakfast. And if they don't thoroughly wash out every bit of yogurt residue before they put the bowl in the dishwasher, and then let's say the dishwasher sits for a couple days before we run it, that bowl is going to come out of the dishwasher with yogurt still like filmed on
it. Oh, yeah. No, not mine. Mine's good at degunking, except the only thing I've noticed
is... Why are you even using this?
Like, I didn't know how sad this was going to get.
I feel like I'm going to cry.
If I put a bowl on the top rack and there's anything on the outside of the bowl, obviously it's not going to reach that very effectively. So like if I've got like a smear of chili oil on the outside of a bowl, it's still going to be a slick when the dishwasher is done, and that's sad.
That is sad. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like, I think on the hand washing dishes episode, we talked about the importance of washing the back of dishes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the backs of pots and pans, especially.
You know, something I've noticed that actually I would like your advice on, or advice from the listeners, is not really specifically dishwashing related, but my bottle of vegetable oil always gets oily on the outside.
Oh, then does it get kind of sticky?
It gets gross, and I have to like wash the bottle, which is really clunky, and then it just happens again. Like, is there some sort of better bottle I could be decanting vegetable oil into that would have like a drip-free spout or something?
But then you've got a bottle to wash. I mean, luckily you've got
bottle washers. Well, but I'm going to have to wash the bottle anyway. Oh, yeah, I can put it in. I can use the bottle scrubber.
I mean, Matthew, maybe you should just be, can you just...
Use coconut oil.
No, could you just kind of like more attentively wipe the drips as they happen?
Yeah, I probably could.
I mean, that's what I do with my bottle of vegetable oil.
And then I can
oil.
Use those drips to lovingly rub down the handle of my bamboo skimmer.
Well, so really, let's say I'm pouring a little bit of peanut oil into a wok or something mm-hmm. like that. When I lift the bottle from pouring, I just sort of sweep my fingers across the mouth of it to get off a drip. And then I kind of like rub it into my hands or onto the handle of the wooden spoon I'm using.
I've never done anything like that, and I'm going to try it.
Try it.
Okay.
Anyway,
I probably need to moisturize.
You probably do. I mean, I'm looking at your hands right now,
yes,
Matthew. Wow.
They're cracked. They're
they're not at all, actually. No. You have what looks like the hands of a
podcaster.
The hands of a podcaster.
Exactly. Yep.
Just delicate and youthful.
Mm-hmm. So, One time a clerk at a bakery like touched my hand while giving me change and told me I had really soft hands. It was the weirdest retail interaction I've ever had.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I think that person was hitting on you.
I don't know.
I'm always bad at telling when people are actually hitting on a person.
Like a clerk at a store wouldn't be hitting on a customer, would they? I don't know. I don't know anything about how the world works.
Probably not. I think such things, if they go, they go the other way around.
Right.
I've been that person who has had the lack of social awareness to hit.
I'm always that person.
To hit on someone working in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about this in the past.
I think I've done it twice.
Of course.
And I think we've talked about both times.
I think so. Okay. So speaking of how much gunk can you put in your dishwasher? There is a commercial. Molly, I'm about to tell you two things that you're going to want to check out later. I should have mentioned this before the show, before the episode.
Thanks a lot.
There's a commercial that we will link to, spilledmilkpodcast.com, for a Miele dishwasher that, among other things, they put an entire cake in the top rack and show how it can take down a cake over the course of the cycle.
Please, somebody reach out and send me a new dishwasher.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the one that kills cakes.
I have some cakes that I need to dispose of.
Have I mentioned that one time years ago, we accidentally put away our cake box with a cake still in it and discovered it weeks later?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, the other thing is I once wrote a short story about a dishwasher.
You
and
did?
We'll link to
Why
that
haven't
also.
I read it?
I don't know. This was like 8 years ago.
Wow.
I've almost never written a short story. I think this is one of two short stories I've ever written since I graduated from elementary school.
I guess I wasn't your first reader yet.
I guess not. It's like a little scary story.
Does it have boneless hands in it?
It sort of does, yeah.
Cool.
It's definitely in the boneless hands mold.
What dishwashing soap do you use? Do you use a powder, a pellet, a gel?
I use a pellet.
Okay. And which kind?
The one I use most often, like I'm not super picky, although some of like the cheaper ones smell funky, I think.
Mm.
The powdery ones. But I tend to use the Finnish brand, the one with the little red
ball
in the middle, the Powerball. Yeah.
So
not like the... You know, the basic one, not the one that they want you to spend eight times as much for because it has all these features.
I think that those work really well. Again, my dishwasher usually leaves like half the pellet in the thing. Does yours?
Has it occurred to you that you need a new dishwasher? No, it doesn't. Mine does not leave half a pellet.
Okay, so then I switched to the Finnish kind that is gel mm-hmm. with a little bit of powder in the middle, and that works better.
Okay, well, what happens if you just
and
put
then,
Tide Pods in?
Then I ran out of those.
Okay.
And there was
absolutely no way to replenish your supply.
We bought some Palmolive, like Eco. It's in a white bottle, mm-hmm. a liquid.
Okay.
But I'm finding that it's taking the finish off of some of our spoons.
Oh, so it's almost too good.
It's like too good. I don't know if these spoons can be brought back from the ledge.
You might have to refinish them.
I think so. It's going to be expensive.
Can you do that with a spoon?
I thought to get a new dishwasher.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't have Matthew. I don't have a YNAB category for this.
Well, I mean, start one.
I have other things to do, like pay my mortgage.
Well, that can wait, right? So, but someone's going to send you one. I can feel it.
Really hope so.
How ethical is that? Not sure. But someone send Molly a dishwasher. We don't care.
Please, please. You can even send me a used one as long as it works really well.
Yeah, just like if you have a dishwasher, if you're one of the 1 in 5 who are not using your dishwasher,
yeah, just pull it right out
from under the counter, leave a gaping hole there. You can put like a little curtain over it or something.
Yeah.
Or a dollhouse in there.
Yeah, I was thinking that, I don't know, you could turn it into a guest bedroom for
Stuart Little.
For Stuart Little. Yep. Gosh, that'd be like a guest mansion.
Yeah.
For Stuart Little.
That'd be awesome. Let's have Stuart Little over. One thing that bugs me about the Finnish brand dishwasher tablets is that until a few years ago, that brand was called Electrosol, which is a cool name. And then they changed it to Finnish, which is a nothing name.
What do you remember the dishwashing detergent that your parents used when you were a kid?
I think it was Cascade.
Yes. My parents used Cascade powder.
Yep.
And it was in a green box. And it had a little metallic spout, kind of like the Morton salts.
Yep. I remember this very
canister.
Well. It was my job to empty the dishwasher. And the way, to this day in my house, the way we signal that the dishwasher is dirty is if there's soap in it and the soap thing is closed, it's dirty. And if the soap thing is open, it's clean. Do you have like one of those magnets that you put on the front, or is yours just always dirty because it sucks?
No, in general, because you can't really use a significant portion of the kitchen when the dishwasher is open.
Mm-hmm. I don't leave the door open. I just leave the door to the soap thing open.
But hold on. I'm saying that once we have clean dishes in there, you pretty much need to unload it as soon as you can get them dry.
Okay.
Because if you leave the dishwasher closed with clean dishes in it, they never dry.
Oh, okay.
So you have to open the door, let it dry, and then put them away immediately. So there's no...
Interesting. There's something good about that, I think.
If our dishwasher is, if it has dishes in it, those dishes are dirty.
Okay. Do you ever use Jet Dry or another rinse aid?
My mom used to, and maybe still does. But yeah, growing up, she always used Jet Dry.
Every once in a while, like,
what
I
does
feel
it
like,
do?
So it's for, like, if you're taking your dishes out and they have, like, a filmy residue, which is so gross.
Well, so in Oklahoma, the water must have had a different mineral content.
It was hard water?
I think it was harder because it would
leave. Do people still talk about hard water? I feel like this was a thing that came up a lot at one point.
So once again, Matthew, this house that I was staying in on Whidbey Island, it was on a well, and it had a water softener like machine in a closet.
It just kind of massages the water until it gets soft and pliant.
It's like one of those kale massaging devices.
Yes, exactly.
Fingers.
Yeah, it's a kale massaging device like we all have.
Anyway, so my mom used to use Jet Dry because otherwise the water where she lived would leave a residue.
Okay.
And I don't have to do that here in Seattle. My water isn't that way. Do you?
Like once every six. I don't think I've had to use it on the new dishwasher, so maybe the new dishwasher is better.
Okay.
I have no idea if I have hard or soft water. It seems pretty soft when I touch it. The last thing I put on the agenda, I just wrote, wouldn't it be great if they made a dishwasher with a clear door? And then I was like, wait, I guess people don't want to look at their dirty dishes all the time. I just want to watch the cycle. I want to sit in front of it and like meditatively watch dishes slowly go from dirty to clean. Did you say washing the dishwasher?
Watching the
dishwasher.
Yes. Watching
the Who will wash the dishwashers?
No.
I ask you.
Well, sometimes I've wanted to do that for my dishwasher as well. Sometimes it smells bad.
Oh, mine has filters that you clean. So
God,
here's a story.
So
like I got a new dishwasher recently and like, you know, I didn't have to pay for it because it came from, I mean, it's coming out of my rent in one way or another, but it, you know, the manager replaced it and he replaced it because the old dishwasher like was collecting like nasty, like bilge water at the bottom and was like making a funky smell when it would rinse. And then... Right?
I like how you phrased that, making a funky smell.
it was cooking up something a little bit funky. Okay. And guess what's in the kitchen?
Dinah.
That's correct.
Wait, someone's with Dinah, though?
Someone is in the kitchen with Dinah. We have not yet. We're not ready to release the name.
I know.
You don't say it. Do not say the name.
Oh God!
It's Voldemort, isn't it?
Oh God! I've tipped the corner.
It's.
I've been meaning.
Let's cue up the theme music for the Molly Cry segment.
I've been needing to have a good cry all week.
Let's see. What would a good song be for this? We should like slowly become one of those shows that has segments with songs that introduce them. Molly needs a good cry. Something like that.
It usually starts with a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It usually starts with me laughing, and then I realize, like, oh no, I'm about to tip over, and now I'm going to cry. And Ash has gotten quite used to this now. This is a feature of my emotional life.
It's not a bug.
Anyway, and watching Ash's face, watching mm-hmm. me as I cycle through my feelings.
You're like, your face is like a dishwasher because my dishwasher starts with sort of a rumbling sound and then the water works. And then it pauses again.
Every now and then I've just got to get my feelings out and they come out through my face.
Yeah, it's not a criticism.
No.
I think that's good. Know yourself.
Anyway, I feel a little better now, but I feel like it might not be done.
That's okay. We're out of time for this episode. So I'll wrap this up for you. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com. I'm sure there's like 17 other dishwasher-related topics that we didn't talk about. Please send Molly a dishwasher. Here's her home address. No, seriously, if you're a dishwasher manufacturer and you want to send Molly a dishwasher, get in touch. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com. This is not a joke.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely not a joke.
We've never been more serious about anything in our lives.
Probably not.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. I want to hear, like, what are your... Here's what I want to know. If someone comes over to your house and offers to wash dishes and they fill your dishwasher, what are the things they do that make you so mad when you next open the dishwasher and see that it wasn't loaded by you?
Oh my gosh. This is going to be, people are going to just
I want to hear it. Get it all out
talking
there.
About this.
Really, like let your feelings flow just the way Molly just did.
Yeah.
and may still be doing.
I haven't decided if it's over yet.
You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Please leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, Google Podcasts. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. You can put a cake in us and we'll make it disappear.
I like it.
I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg. Okay, Matthew, show me. Oh wow. I don't have these.
Okay, let's take it back to the stage.
Holy cow, that's cool.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.